got your Bibles turned to the book of Timothy. I couldn't help think about when Rick said about getting some vision back. You know, Word of God says when there is no vision, the people perish. And that's something that we all got to ask ourselves, you know, how well are we seeing that? You know, what's the vision of our church? You know, a pastor can have a vision, but if the church is not open to that vision, he can't do a whole lot. In the same way, if the church has a vision and the pastor don't have no vision, it's just, we all got to get together in this thing. You know, we're a body, you know, and if our feet's going to start moving, you know, we got to see where we're going. Yeah. And so we're going to be kind of switching gears a little bit. I'm still, you know, I guess probably till the day I die, my theme will be win a fight. It's a battle. It's a war. And I think that's something that we forget so often. We get so busy with the things of this life, we forget that it's a war. There's an enemy. And this enemy, he don't sleep. I'm glad the Lord gives us some sleep. We need it. You know, our minds and our emotional makeup couldn't handle if we could see what's really going on around us. We all go dig a hole and pull the dirt around us. I mean, because it's a war, and the enemy is constantly, you know, hammering at us and hammering at us. But I always remember one thing. No matter what they do, it's by God's will.
Amen.
No matter what it is.
Amen.
It's God's will. They're still His servants. They don't know it. They don't like it. They think they're doing their own thing. But God's got them on a leash. And they're working God's will out. And so don't get discouraged. Just stay in the fight. Amen. Yeah. We've already won.
Amen.
We're more than conquerors.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
So don't get discouraged. Just because I say, you know, there's a war going on, don't get discouraged about it. Yeah, you're a winner. You're on the winning side. You're a victor and more than a victor. And just be faithful in the battle and so that you might obtain a full reward. That's what it's about. Well, you know, we look around, we see problems, you know, going on. I can imagine. What do you think the church thought when Paul died? Oh, my. I don't know what we're going to do now. I mean, he was the man, you know what I mean? But he was trying to put some things in place so the church would go on. But he also knew, and he told them, warned them many times, that there'd be all kinds of false doctrine and wolves and stuff that's going to enter into the flock, you know. But he knew, Paul knew who was in charge. But he did give them warning. And here in 1 Timothy, beginning in verse 1, I like the way this very first starts. I mean, you look at this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by what? The commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He said, I am what I am by the command of God. He recognized who his commander in chief was. And that's something, you know, we got to recognize as individuals. What's God's command for our lives, right here and right now? What's your command? What is it that God has given you to do? And are you being obedient to that command? I mean, you can be, you know, you can go AWOL, you know. Happens all the time. Paul had them in his day. You know, Demas hath forsaken me. Why? He was scared, that's why. Having loved this present world, he's scared they're going to arrest him and kill him. But he took to the hills. Him and the rest of the crowd did too. Just like Peter and All that, you know, all that crowd, when they arrested Jesus, you know what I mean? They all took off. Why? Because they loved this present world. They wasn't looking to die yet. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Amen? Mm. Huh?
Amen.
And we got right here, though, that Paul, it has a command of God, and we've all been commanded by God. He's got something for each one of us. If we're a child of God, He's got something that you're supposed to be doing and I'm supposed to be doing. It's whether we're going to do it or not. I thought a lot. I mean, for the last 2 weeks, I've been burdened with something. When I found out that, you know how your mouth says stupid things and then you end up having to eat on it for days to come? What do they call that, eating crow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a nasty bird to have to eat, I can tell you that right now. I said something. I don't know why I said it even. This old boy, he was at work 2 or 3 days, said something about having a headache. And he's talking about migraines. I'm sitting there saying, well, he ain't got no migraine, he wouldn't be here. And his head's hurting, yeah. But he ain't got no migraine. I know what a migraine is. You can't do nothing except lay down and win a ball, put your hand over your head and pray that you can go to sleep. And maybe cry a little bit. And I told this boy, I said, you know, I thought, thank you, right. I just don't think he can handle pain very well. Man, I've chewed on that and chewed on that. So the thing that was hurting me killed him. You know, and you say, what's that got to do with this? God didn't command me to say stupid stuff like that. God told me to be a witness. And I had a desire. I wanted to pin him down because about a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, he was wanting to talk to my son-in-law, and they never got together. He wanted to talk to him about something. He had something bothering him. And I tried to get that arranged. I worked hard, but I wanted him to talk to my son-in-law and get this, whatever it was, get it out, because I knew that he was doing some things he ought not be doing. He was heading in a direction that he didn't want to go, and I knew it. And I tried to work it out, but I didn't get it worked out. Well, I had made up my mind. I said, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to pin him down, and I'm talking to him about his soul. I knew he heard. I knew he knew the gospel. He heard it. Many times. He heard it every Christmas at my work. He heard it. He come to church here one time. He heard it several times, I know, during the message. And he heard it because I knew some of the places he'd went to church. And I knew he had heard the gospel many, many times. But I didn't know, have no clue what he'd done with Jesus. All I could do was look at what kind of life I saw him living. I wanted to talk to him. It was a burden on my heart. And it's like I couldn't ever get the chance because he was running hither and there, going wild, and I never could get a chance, and now he's dead. Stuff like that weighs on me. I don't know how it does you, but it weighs on me. This is a fella. I went to some high school football games with him because he wanted somebody to go. He wanted to go out of town, and he didn't have nobody to go with him. And I said, well, I'll go with you. And he was a pretty good friend, but I still don't know about his salvation. Like I said, I knew he'd heard. He knew where I stood. I know he did. You got any friends like that? Don't wait too long. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Don't wait too long. I'll empty my slop trough if it can keep somebody else from making some of the same mistakes or not getting things done. But we've got a command of God that we should owe no man nothing but the love. And Paul said he was a debtor to every man. That God had gave him this charge, this command,
to deliver the gospel to the Gentiles. To the Jews first, but then to the Gentiles. And there's nobody that we do not owe this gospel to. Now, we can sit around on our hands and do nothing about it, or we can do God's command. He said, well, God didn't call me to be a preacher. Yes, He did. Absolutely. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're to be a preacher of the gospel. Don't have to get deep. Don't have to get into old doctrines. Just tell them what Jesus did by dying on the cross and paid for our sins and rose again victorious and now offers Himself to us to be our Savior.
Amen.
And all a man need do is want Jesus, is want Him, and they'll have Him. It's simple. It ain't praying a prayer. Yes, it's being obedient to the gospel, but what is the gospel? The gospel is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's a gift. He is the gift. And sometimes things get confused by men. Men get too, I don't know, they get too deep with it. They try to figure out something they can't figure out, Brother Rick, and next thing you know, they're saying things. It's foolishness. And they make foolish the gospel. The gospel's so simple, a child can understand it. But hey, what God did, you can't figure it out. Just realize He did it for you. And He provided His Son for you. And then you accept Him, and you have life. But you got to want it. Some people got this idea, man, until you can get a man hung out over hell and he knows and he can feel the fires burning in his hind end, he can't get saved. I'm telling you, when I got saved, I wasn't even thinking a bit about hell. I wasn't worried about hell. Not for me. You know who I was worried about hell for, Brother Rick, the day I got saved? My family. My children. That's what I was worried about. And I was worried about the fact that God showed me what I was and He didn't like me and I didn't like me. And for the first time in my life, I wanted to please God. I wanted to do what was right. And I wanted Him. Very simple. Gospel said. Now how God performed it? Yeah. You dig around. You try to figure it out. When you got it all figured out, come on, let's sit down. We'll have about 40, 50 pots of coffee looking over it. And you know what we're going to find out when we get done? We don't know nothing. All of them, you think you know something. You don't know nothing. The Bible says the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you cannot tell from whither it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit. You ain't going to figure it out. He came to you. He shows you your need, which was Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. If you're saved, something in you said, that's what I want. I want Him. Hey, He's been given a commandment to do, and He said right here, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. I like this right here. What's your hope? Christ. Is it a prayer? Is it good works? Is it deeds? What is your hope? Christ. He's our all in all. And if you're saved, He's in you all. Christ, man, that's the message. It's Christ, Jesus. I remember old Ed Blue used to say, he's all I need. He's all I need. He's the answer for everything. To know Him is to know it all. And to not know Him is to not know anything. You're blind because He is everything.
These lights that shine, they light, they shine because he consists, and the sun goes around because he consists. These things have their being in him and him alone. He holds the universe together by his will. And said unto Timothy, notice this, my own son in the faith. We know he wasn't his physical son. We know that Paul didn't spiritually birth him into this, into the family of God. Jesus done that. But what does he mean there? He said, my son in the faith. It's right here. He gave him the word of God. He was faithful to do what God, do God's commandment, which was to preach the gospel to every creature. And to take and lay out God's words. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The word of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. And this is what we got to answer to. This is what we have to give an answer, an account to. When you read this Bible and it points its finger at you, listen. When you read, but I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but when I read that over to go into all the world and preach the gospel, I see a big finger pointing straight at me. Do you? Look at some of these words afterward. Yeah, this whole, these books right here is trying to draw a group of people into what it means to be a soldier, a mature Christian that can do the work of God. They got some battles. They got some people in there bringing in some false doctrine, like Brother Rick was talking about down there in Brazil. They got to be very careful about who they let in to the ministry because there's all kinds of, you know, schisms and people bringing in, you know, little doctrines that ain't exactly right. Brother Rick, you go to a lot of churches, do you not? You ever hear some things that just really just, huh? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Scares you, don't it? He said, unto Timothy, my own son of faith. The thing he wants us, I think he's getting us to zero in on right here, is the word of God. He wants us to examine the word of God. You're my son in the faith. This body of doctrine, the word of God. And the reason why I say that, I said, listen. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine than what? The faith. This body of doctrine right here. They would bring in by the sleight of hand, you know. They were bringing in men's opinions. They were bringing in... just like the Pharisees of, you know, when Christ, you know, was dealing with them, they was bringing in traditions that they had. And our church is full of traditions today. I went to a Catholic church this past week for a funeral. Might have well been Catholic. It was a Lutheran church. But first thing I saw right there, they come marching in, had their little parade, you know. Bringing in the cross, you know. Take up your cross. I mean, I know we need to take up our cross, but that's in us. Hey, I don't need no symbols. I don't need no, you know what I mean? I don't think that self-pleases God, to be honest with you. Because what happens after a time is people begin to worship these things. These traditions. this liturgy. And buddy, after a while, man, whenever the preacher reads something, you know what your part to read. And you know, and he'll read a part and you read a part. He pray a prayer, you say amen. Huh? Don't get me wrong. I'm not pointing my finger at them. I'm pointing my finger at us. Because we can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You just can't see it as much. You know what I mean? Because it's just, yeah, there it is. We just ain't got our glasses on. But it happens. The next thing you know what we become? If we ain't careful, we get proud and lifted up. Think, wow. We start praying like that old Pharisee. Well, God, I thank you that I'm an independent Baptist church and I got the King James Bible and I believe blah, 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 and I'm not like this crowd over here. And next thing you know what's happened? You're thinking Pharisee. You lift it up in pride, and you need to come down a notch or two. Now, I'm not ashamed of being in an independent Baptist church. I don't know any other place I could possibly be. But I do know men. And I've been around for a little while now in this independent Baptist church, and I've seen some stuff that I know that we're guilty of some of the same stuff that we judge other people by. We ought not to be so. And he's warning them right here that, I mean, we got people stand up and said, man, I know I'm a called of God preacher because I'm wearing a white shirt and something's wrong. You might mean it jokingly, but there's people out there, they're thick enough, they won't believe that, Brother Rick. You need to be careful what you say. The Bible says we're not to speak foolishly. We're to speak purposely. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you've got any problem understanding what I'm talking about, come talk with me. I'll try to make it even more plain. Because I think teaching ought to be plain and direct. God didn't call me to be a comedian. This is important. Now notice this. He said, that thou mightest charge some that they teach you other doctrine, and neither giving heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in what? Faith. Again, it's the Word of God. You can start bringing in stuff that you can't find in this book. I'm trying to think. Don Green, is that his name? The Things Preacher? He called himself the Things Preacher. That's what they called him. Wasn't it Don Green?
Don Green, yes.
No end of separation. He had that man. And he's got to talk about it. People said, well, you know, he was preaching against cowboy boots. We weren't preaching against cowboy boots. He was preaching against dingo boots. What's the stinking difference? I don't, you know, that kind of stuff. Where does that come from? It's opinions. And it's just like my armpits. Half the time they stink. You don't want them. Let's stay in the book. Good doctrine. Don't build your ministry on your opinion, what you think or what you like or what you don't like. Stick in the book. Maybe you're the problem. Maybe you need to get out of the way. Let God have His way. He called them dingo hippie boots. Because a lot of young people were wearing them. A bunch of long hairs were wearing them. At least they had clothes on. I wonder if they did the same thing back in Jesus' time. Well, he ain't wearing the right kind of sandals. He folks had them lace up to here, you know. I don't know. Look at that color. Look at that colored robe. That thing ought to be black. Or with a white under tunic. I don't know. All I know is sometimes we get in foolishness and things that is not in this Bible. But godly edifying is in the faith. We can trust the Word of God. Now, the end of the commandment, here it is. And this is the thing that we all have the biggest problem with in our churches, is charity. That's the end of the commandment. It's not law. It's not rules. It's not separation. I'm all for separation. But if you love, if you love people, you'll take a, you'll take godly separation. You'll try to keep sin out of your life.
Yes.
But the end of it is love. And love ought to govern everything that we ever do. Everything we ever say should be based in this thing of charity, which is the love of God. It's not something that we can produce. It's got to be produced by the Holy Spirit of God in us. We got to have yielded ourselves. We got to get this junk out of the way. You know, saying, "Hey, I'm not doing it nobody's way but God. I don't care what Dr. Bottlestopper used to do and what Dr. Bottlestopper used to say. What matters is what this Word of God says. And I'm going to can all that junk." I said, "Now, God, teach me to walk in the faith." Out of a pure heart and a good conscience. And the only way your conscience is going to get good, you're going to have to fill it up with this Word right here. You've got to fill it up with this Word. This Word. I like something Brother Joe Allen said one time. He said, "You want to be filled with the Spirit?" Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Fill your heart and mind with these words right here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman in need of not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let that word of truth, it cleans us up. You want a pure heart? Fill your heart and your mind with the word of God. You say, like one fellow said, "I don't understand a lot of this stuff." Preacher said, "Go down there to the creek and get me a basket full of water." He said, "A basket full of water." He said, "It ain't going to hold water." That's about like we are. We can't hold water sometimes. I mean, that word just seems like it just goes out quicker than we can read it. He said, "Go get it," and dips the basket in and come back. He said, "They said it won't hold. Go get it again." He went out and gets it and come back about four or five times. By now, he thinks that preacher's plumb crazy. He said, "See there, I told you it won't hold water." He said, "But look at the basket. It's a lot cleaner, isn't it?" We might not hold and retain and understand everything we're reading and everything that we're studying, but just keep pouring that Word of God in there. It'll clean us up.
Amen. Amen.
It'll clean us up. And I guarantee you one thing, that basket was wet when it come up. So there was some water that was holding on to it, right? Huh? And this Word, this water, the Word, will not only wash us, make us clean, but I'm going to tell you, it'll have an effect on us. Huh?
Yes,
I guarantee you, the more that thing got wet, the more water it was holding too. You know why? It made that stuff start swelling. Huh? It started permeating into that wood. You take an old wood boat, you get that, keep that thing wet, it won't leak. You let that sucker get dry, what will it do? Huh? I'm telling you, the water of this Word, it will do more than we can even begin to imagine. Just take it and take it into our lives. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience of faith unfeigned. Over and over and over, we find that word faith. Faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. That Word of God there, that's Christ Jesus, by the way. Huh?
Amen.
He is, we got saved by the faith of the Son of God. And that faith of the Son of God abides in us. Mm-hmm. Huh? through this person of the Spirit of God. And this Bible that we could not begin to comprehend or understand, we would read it and say, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. But when the Holy Spirit of God came in, that teacher, he began to teach us this doctrine right here and showed us what it is he wanted us to do, and he gave us faith to do the things that he wants us to do. He gave us a commandment, and that commandment, and I'm going to tell you what, this is the gospel truth, Brother Rick. You saying that about losing your direction and losing, you know, your vision. The church is here for main purpose is to glorify God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're here to reach people. I say, wake up. We're here to reach people with the gospel. Brother told me this past week, he said, you got a church that ain't having people saved? He said, it ain't no church. I've said this for years. If you don't hear the cries of newborn babes in the house of God, you got a church that's dead. You give it time, it'll die.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going to grow old and die. If we ain't got newborn babes coming in here that we're training with the gospel and sending out, then this church will pass away as many, 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 many congregations have in the past. We need to have a vision of that, a burden for that. You notice this right here. He said, and have a good conscience of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved. Some people have left the Word of God. Oh, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Some of them are even saved. Man, they abandoned the good Word of God. And have turned aside after vain janglings. Think about that, vain janglings. Words that don't profit. That's what that is, words that does not profit. We can go through the forms and the fashions. We can have services every week. We can stand up, sit down, fight, you know, but if it's just vain janglings, what's it going to accomplish? There's a vain belief, you know that, right? So where we use in 1 Corinthians, where we declare the gospel, unless you have believed in vain, if our belief is vain, our words will be vain. It's so important that we understand how in. I wish I could get it out and into me in such a way that it can't be denied how important this is to me. This is to God. That. We have got to take a place, a position, where, like Brother Rick said, where you have a vision, that you understand what God has commanded us to do, and that you are willing to do it. When we can get to the place, as James said, I think I'm wrong. I think it's Peter. We have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. When we get to the point, it's so important to us that the blood would actually ooze out of our skins, Brother Rick, because we would not bend, we would not bow. We're going to stick with what God has told us to do. Bible says to know good and do it not, to him it is what? To reach people with the gospel and do it not, to him it is what?
Sin.
To see the hungry and oppressed and to feed them not is to what?
Sin.
To see the widows and orphans and the poor go without and to receive them not, to him it is sin. There's so much that we have been commissioned to do by the grace of God, by the commandment of God. How are we doing? How many have we fed this week? How many have we sheltered this week? How many have we given the gospel this week? Notice this, and this is where this crowd always goes to, desiring to be teachers of the law. When we leave off charity, that's where we're going to go. That's what people like. People like law. They like a bunch of rules that they can stand behind. You know, they like a walled city. They want a walled city. You know. We can bring our kind in and keep that kind out. What's our kind? That's the important thing. What is our kind? Is it like the Pharisees of old? Hey, we want to walk Jerusalem, and we want to bring in our kind, and we want the other kind out. Well, so we can lay down laws and rules. We don't smoke and we don't chew. We don't mess with those that do. Or, hey, I don't care how high you jump, long as when you land, you're spitting white. I just go on with stuff, you know, and we can talk about, you know, all kinds of things like dress and behavior and language and all kinds of stuff. But the truth of it is, God has sent us to the world, not to the church. What do you think you're going to find out in the world? What do we think we're going to find out there? There's going to be a Sunday school meeting? Huh? Come on. You got it. This world is rough. In the world, you have trouble, tribulation, problems, drunkenness, cursing, murder, lying, debate. Just go on and on. Huh? Whoremongers and adulterers. Sodomites. It's all out there. I never forget first, I think it was maybe the first or second time we went to Mississippi. Brother Rick, he volunteered to go.
Into the AIDS unit.
Yeah, into the AIDS unit. I said, he got more than I got. At that time. I didn't have a whole lot of compassion towards homosexuals at that time. Now, I'm sorry for that. We might could have done a little bit of job of reaching them if people had been a little more compassionate. A lot of them come from really hard homes. A lot of them have been battered and molested since they were just little children. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just simply saying, you know, we got to have, we until we
can see what God sees and have a compassion the way God has compassion, we're not going to be very effective.
But they want to be teachers of the law, not understanding what they say nor wherein they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners and for unholy and profane. Now, all you said, see there, they deserve what they get. They're under the law. Yeah, they're under the law because the law is a schoolmaster to do what? Bring them to Christ. We're supposed to be in Christ. That's the reason why we're not under no law. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We're in Christ now. The law is not for us, but how come we want to live under it? How come so many churches want to live under the law? And they want everybody else to live under it. We know law is good if we handle it lawfully. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which is committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I say to Paul, you're wrong. I hadn't been born yet. I don't know no sinner worse than me. I can't look in your hearts. And I don't want to. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Notice this. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. You get that, Brother Rick? Huh? Did you get that? Think about it. He said, I'm an ensample.
Yes, sir.
I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst. There ain't been nobody no worse than me. I persecuted the church. I was a murderer. I was all those things. I was vile. I did it ignorantly and unbelief. We all did it ignorantly and unbelief.
Yes.
So when you go out this week and you run out there in the world and you see a bunch of, man, I don't know, a bunch of old dirty whoremongering slobs out there about half drunk and celebrating the Christmas only way they know how, with a bottle.
Yes.
Don't you dare look down your nose at them. Because by what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. You say, well, I'm saved.
Yeah.
You don't think that judgment starts with us?
Well, no better he is.
We can, we can lose a lot of rewards. We can hurt.
Yes,
sir. I don't want to be no hurt. I say let's grow up, amen. I say let's grow up and realize and say, God, you have commanded me to do something. You sent me out here to love people and make a difference where I can. And we ain't going to reach them all. We ain't going to reach but a few. But praise God, there'll be those. It was good for us, amen. Let's go be good for someone else, okay? You fellas that's going soul winning every Thursday, keep on after it.
Yes, sir.
Try to drag some of these young people along with you if you can. That's what we try to do on Saturdays, try to get them a little bit involved. If you haven't been soul winning in a while, look for an opportunity. I don't care if it's a drive-through, if it's a grocery store. I don't care where it is. If you ain't witnessed somebody lately, ask God for the opportunity and he'll make a way.
Oh, he will. Yes, he will.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer.